Well, this evening we continue to make our study of the leprosy laws given to Israel in chapters 13 and 14 of the book of Leviticus. Last time we considered the first 46 verses of chapter 13, where we saw the instructions given for the diagnosis of the disease. The priests were to follow certain instructions, and they were to look for certain symptoms in a person who had possibly contracted some sort of skin disease. But while we looked at the various types of swelling that would occur on various parts of the body, we were also reminded that in the Bible, leprosy is also an illustration for our own sinful depravity before a holy God. As Isaiah 64 says, "But we are all like an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are like filthy rags. We fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away." So that's what we find ourselves naturally before God, and leprosy illustrates that for us, that we are a people dead and in decay, and unclean and unfit for the presence of God. But we also saw that the message of the gospel is that there is cleansing for the spiritual leper. There is cleansing when we come to the Lord Jesus Christ and are washed in his blood. The Levitical priests could declare a person to be unclean, but they couldn't make them clean. But the difference with the Lord Jesus Christ is that he has the power and authority to forgive sins and to make the leper clean. And he demonstrated this during his earthly ministry by healing those plagued with physical leprosy. He went to the outcasts. He understood their plea. He knew their pain, because he too was one who was despised and rejected by men. He too was one from whom men hid their faces. And when they came to him, he declared that he was willing to cleanse them. My friends, yesterday, today, and forever, Jesus Christ is the same. He's still the same today. His compassion fails not, it changes not. He is still willing to clean all spiritual lepers who will come to him by faith, who will come to him trusting in his blood shed on the cross of Calvary for the forgiveness of our sins. So now, in the rest of chapter 13, in verses 47 to 59, we are given instructions, not this time for the person themselves, but for garments and items of clothing that have been infected by leprosy. And again, the message is clear. What is this telling us about Almighty God? It's telling us that God is holy, and he dwells within the camp with his people. And these garments are not fit for his presence. And again, it's to do with death. If there's a fungus rotting away in the fabric, well, it's suggestive of death, isn't it? It's eroding away the material, just as a person's skin was rotting away. So unclean garments had to be examined and removed from the camp if they were truly leprous garments. So what was the process that was to happen? Well, if a person found leprosy in their garment, it would come up as a green or reddish colour, we're told. And so the garment was to be shown to the priest. And it didn't matter what type of material it was, be it linen or wool or even leather, the priest would examine the item of clothing and would then isolate the garment for 7 days. And after that, if the plague had spread further through the garment, and we keep finding these words, wart and woof, and it's two of these words that no one really knows what they mean, but probably just the fibres, the very fibres of the garments. So if the leprosy had spread further through them, then the leprosy was clearly active, and the garment was unclean, and it was to be burned in the fire. But if the plague hadn't spread, if it was still the same, then the item was to be washed and isolated another 7 days, and then re-examined by the priest. And this time, even if the plague hadn't spread, but if it hadn't changed colour, it was to be burned. No change is no good. But if the leprosy had faded in colour, well, the leprous patch was to be torn out and the rest of the material could still be used. But if it then reappeared again after that, burn it. And then, finally, if the plague had disappeared during this period of washing and isolation, well, it was to be washed a second time and then declared clean. So that's really what's going on in these verses here. These are the various instructions and the various scenarios that the priests would face, that they have to take action according to what the result is. I hope you can see why this section naturally follows on from the previous one. Think about it. How foolish would it have been for someone who had been cured of leprosy, who had been healed and brought back into the camp? How foolish would it have been for them to then go about wearing clothes that were still infected by the disease? Cleansed, your skin's healed, you're better, but then you put on clothes that are still polluted with it. So instructions are given after that for the clothes as well. They must be dealt with as well. My friends, likewise in the Christian life, how foolish is it to be cleansed and forgiven our sin in Christ and then to keep on in sin, to keep on putting on sin and keep on sinning. When we're unbelievers, everything we're touched is affected by our sinfulness. Every aspect of our lives is affected by our fallenness. But Christ comes to redeem not just us, but every area of our lives, so that every area of our lives might then be affected by him. And so we are to wear clean garments now as the people of God. We are to put on Christ and his ways. We were considering that in Colossians a few weeks ago when we were in chapter 3. Putting off sin, putting on the things of Christ. And the Lord gives instructions to the church in Sardis in the book of Revelation, chapter 3. He says to them, or declares to them, "You have a few names, even in Sardis, who have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy." So, having washed our robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb, we are now to walk in white as we go through this world in Christ. Now, that doesn't mean that the moment we become Christians, we have to live the rest of our lives in absolute perfection or else we get kicked out of the kingdom. That's not what it means. No, sin will still dwell within us till the day we die. We cannot attain perfection in this life. But the truth doesn't change that Christ has cleansed us. Christ is sanctifying us now by his Spirit and making us holy. And Christ will keep us. We are sealed for the day of redemption. In Christ, our garments are white. We have his righteousness. But it means that we strive every day to live for him and to live like him. And that will mean examining ourselves and actively forsaking sin. And we do that not by ourselves, but we do that in Christ's strength, with his power working in us. We can be cleansed, and yet there are still things in each of our lives that are unacceptable to God. We can be cleansed, declared clean, cured, and yet there can still be clothes that we put on sometimes that we shouldn't be wearing. Just like that cleansed leper putting on infected garments. So that's really us in this life now. This is the Christian life. This is the battle we face. Clean people constantly tempted to be wearing unclean clothes. And so it's important that we examine ourselves, and we must rummage through our clothing, look at our lives, and see if we possess any leprous garments. The Christian life is a call to the pursuit of holiness. It's a call to daily repentance. But we do these things as we look to Christ. But when our eyes are open to certain sins in our lives, when we see, okay, I'm doing this and I shouldn't be doing this, if we allow these sins to persist, if we do not deal with them and cut them off, they cause havoc. If we know something's a sin, but we don't stop doing it, it will cause chaos and wreckage in our lives. Imagine if that leprous garment wasn't removed from a person's house. You know how it would spread. It would spread all around the household, to all the people again. And likewise with our sins. Our sins just don't affect our own spiritual lives. They affect the lives of our families. They affect the lives of our church. That leprous garment was a danger to the whole camp. Remember in the book of Joshua, Joshua chapter 7. Joshua and the army of Israel had just conquered the city of Jericho, and they were told to destroy everything. But one man, Achan, he took some possessions for himself and hid them, contrary to the Lord's instructions. And so when the army of Israel went up to the next city, the city of Ai, the Lord didn't go with them. They lost that battle. Why? Because there was sin in the camp. It was just one man, but there was sin in the camp. One man's sin affected the whole nation. And so, we must examine ourselves. What if God was withholding his blessing because of unconfessed and undealt with sin in our lives that we're bringing to the fellowship? So no matter how secret you think it is, your brothers and sisters are infected. Are affected, rather. However costly that garment was, however good it looked, not just cheap wool but expensive leather, it had to go. It just had to go. Remember, one of my friends became a Christian. There was a particular TV series that he really enjoyed, and this series had many episodes and many seasons, and he had them all on DVD, but the language in it wasn't very appropriate. And so he took his entire DVD collection of this series and he binned a lot of them. He got rid of them. He couldn't watch them anymore. And likewise, when people come to Christ, we often hear that they find what they have to do. Certain habits have to go. Certain hobbies have to go. Certain relationships have to be broken off. Sin is serious and it affects more than just us. And Jesus gives us words about this in Matthew chapter 5, in the Sermon on the Mount. He says, "If your right eye causes you to sin, pluck it out and cast it from you. For it is more profitable for you that one of your members perish than for your whole body to be cast into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and cast it from you. For it is more profitable for you that one of your members perish than for your whole body to be cast into hell." But the good news is, my friends, that God is doing this work. Ultimately, it is his work, and he challenges us, he works through us, through our decision making. He enables us to actively forsake sin by his grace, by his spirit. But ultimately, it is his work, and he will see it to completion. Notice in the case with the garment in verse 56. If the leprosy didn't disappear, but it only faded, it was to be torn out. And you know, in our lives at times, there are some sins that do not fade and disappear quick enough for God's liking. And so he has to tear them out of us. And that is very painful, isn't it? We very much learn the hard way sometimes. Think of Simon Peter. Peter's pride wouldn't go away. He made those extravagant claims about how he would never forsake the Lord. Well, the Lord got rid of Peter's pride. He brought Peter to his knees weeping after his denial of Jesus. And then Peter had to endure being asked three times by the Lord if he truly loved him. And sometimes the Lord has to do that in us as well. No change is no good. There must be change, and there will be change. The Lord will have us holy, because he bought us with too high a price for us to not become holy. So we will be holy, and he will do that work in us. And it will involve tearing sins from us at times. But we know that's for the best, isn't it? To be free from them. Never go back to them. To know we're walking in the Lord's way and being more conformed to his will for our lives. So, whatever we're experiencing tonight, we can be sure that this is one of the Lord's chief purposes in our trials. But whatever he's doing, and he's working on a spectrum that we can't even see, whatever he's doing, one thing he is doing is making us more like Jesus. And Paul says in Romans 5, we glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. And so if we are in Christ, that leprosy that has stained the garments of our lives, that leprosy is fading. It is fading more day by day. Because those whom he has justified, he will sanctify. He is sanctifying, and he will one day glorify. And so we can be assured, if we are in Christ, we are not going to be burned up in our sins if we've come to him for cleansing. The only burning we'll experience will be the furnace of affliction in this life, to burn up our sins now and purify us that we might come forth as gold. There might be fire to walk through, but it is the refiner's fire. And we can be sure that it is good for us to walk through it, that he's put it in our way to purify us. There will be a burning of judgment for this world. This earth will be burnt up and renewed. But in Christ, our garments are white. We are clothed in his righteousness. And throughout this life as we go on, our garments are being whitened more and more to that perfection when we become like him in glory. And we will stand perfect and complete before him one day. Over in 1 Peter, in chapter 3, Peter gives some instructions to the women of the people of the church he's writing to. And it says, do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, weighing gold, or putting on fine apparel. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart, with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. And that can be applied to all of us, that we would adorn the things of Christ, that we would put them on as garments. So we can be assured that in Christ we are clothed in his righteousness. So let us continue to put him on daily. Let us seek him in his word, to know him better, so that we can become like him better. That more and more our own lives would manifest his character, his ways, and his garments. Amen. Let us pray. you would speed that work in us by your Spirit, whereby you would more and more conform us into the image of Christ. Help us to look to him, the author and perfecter of our faith. Help us to look to him and run the race set before us. Help us to throw off every sin that entangles us and hinders us in the way. And help us by your grace to more and more become like him. We pray that you would give us a burning love for him and desire for him above all, that we would seek to know him better day by day. We pray that you would bless us as your people here. We pray that you would speak to our hearts and you can convict us of the sin that still remains in us. And we pray that by your grace you would purify us and make us whiter than the snow. We thank you then for the assurance we have that you are doing this work in us, and more you shape us and mould us by your word, and you grow us together as a church into Christ, who is the head. And so, Lord, we pray that that work would continue. Help us not to be stubborn hearted, but help us to be humble before you and bent more and more into your will for us. We pray that you would continue to bless our studies in this book of Leviticus, that we might understand these laws given and might understand just how holy and perfect and sinless you are, and understand how deeply sinful and corrupt we are, but that more and more that we would see Christ in these pages, and we would see how he fulfills all these laws, that we would be given a bigger picture of just how glorious his sacrifice for us was, that by it we are truly cleansed and redeemed for now and for all eternity. So we ask that you would write these truths upon our hearts this night and help us to walk with you in white through this world. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's close by singing from Psalm 102 in the Scottish Psalter. Psalm 102 on page 366. Psalm 102, singing the first version, singing verses 25 to 28. The firm foundation of the earth, of old time thou hast laid. The heavens also are the work which thine own hands have made. Thou shalt forevermore endure, but they shall perish all. Yea, every one of them wax old, like to a garment shall. Thou as a vesture shall them change, and they shall changed be. But thou the same art, and thy years are to eternity. The children of thy servants shall continually endure, and in thy sight, O Lord, their seed shall be established sure. We'll sing verses 25 to 28.